Tell me about the relationship between these ghosts and the psychic phenomena and aliens. I mean, this is fascinating.
Well, it crosses over at a number of points. As I mentioned early on, the whole reason, I guess, or one of the main reasons, perhaps, that I became interested in investigating ghosts and haunts was that in my interviewing and work with people who had felt they had been abducted by alien entities, there was this huge paranormal element lurking in the background of many of these folks' lives. Many of them, for example, would have what in other settings would be called poltergeist activity. Things would fly off shelves, appliances would burn up, light bulbs would burn out prematurely. And so it seemed as though, even early on, that there was a link between these phenomena, and maybe that link is something merely psychic or psychokinetic. But I think over the years, then, I've come to believe that it's quite likely that many of the entities that are perceived as ghosts may well be the same intelligence, the same source, if you will, as entities that are popularly perceived to be aliens.
Sure. Or partially.
Yeah, you know, it's very dangerous to make sweeping 100% generalizations, but it seems like there are some pretty heavy-duty connections phenomenologically. In other words, both in the realm of spirit relations with ghosts and interaction with abducting aliens, there seem to be a number of very similar modes of operation. What I would call the trickster element is very active in both of these arenas, as though there was some intelligence that was cloaking itself conveniently and culturally as an alien in one case or as dead Uncle Herman in the other.
Under these field studies that you have posted on the website, the avalonfoundation.org, pick out a couple here for us, if you can, in the moments that we have, Nick,
sure,
before we get some ghost stories from callers. Tell me some of your favorites here.
Well, one of my favorites, just because of its sort of inclusion of a real sense of irony, was a case that I referred to as the penny ghost. That one is on the field studies page. That had to do with a house in the city of Mansfield, Ohio, that Lori and I went to back in early 2003. It was one of the last cases we worked on together. And the first thing that made this case very unique was that it was in an old, restored, beautiful Victorian house that had been turned into a psychiatric clinic. So here you had a group of psychologists and therapists working in this clinic made out of a beautiful Victorian home, but there were ghostly phenomena going on. And I can only begin to imagine some of the unnerving conflicted thoughts.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like, well, okay, I'm a psychologist. I try to help people to get away from believing in this sort of thing. But at any rate, one of the unique events that was happening at this place was that pennies would apparently fall out of thin air.
Pennies out of thin air.
Yeah, and this, it probably qualified as the only case out of our history where we were able to get a look at what in psychic literature is called apports. In other words, material objects that seem to come out of nowhere.
Now I know where the song Pennies from Heaven is
pennies from the psychiatric clinic. But people around this clinic, both the counselors as well as some of the office staff, would find pennies, and in one case, the office manager had one drop out of thin air that she witnessed. Now, in addition to these pennies,
this is incredible, Nick.
Yeah, it was a real hoot. In addition to this, there were also other phenomena that might be a little bit more conventional going on. There were odd appliance activities, furniture moving around sometimes when people weren't looking, the sounds of children running and playing in an attic room of this building. And we had been invited there by the psychologist who was actually the owner of the property, and she herself was very tempered and certainly skeptical in a good sense, but certainly could not deny also that there was weird stuff going on in their clinic. As often happens with ongoing haunts, the phenomena tends to come and go. It'll go dormant for long periods of time, and then things would kick up again. But we happened to be able to get to this place during a time when there had been, I think, at least six cases of pennies that had fallen out of somewhere. And so I was able to actually borrow temporarily some of these pennies and do some analysis on them using a scanning electron microscope and EDS, which is energy dispersive spectroscopy, to see if there's anything strange that one could find about a material object that seems to have just fallen out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, in other words, okay, what year was the penny? You know, was it a...
And were they all the same?
No, they were what you might expect if you were to find a dirty, corroded penny under your back porch or something.
That might have been weathered.
Yeah, they tended to all be weathered with some copper oxide.
No gel or gooky stuff on
them? No, unfortunately. There didn't seem to be any unusual elements represented when I did the analysis.
Okay, and what about the years?
Well, we thought there might be some significance there. They tended to be years that were in the 1960s and 70s. We tried comparing dates with any possible known events that might have happened around the house. Unfortunately, records were somewhat lacking as far as, you know, who lived in the house, what happened there before the people who turned it into a clinic bought the place. There didn't seem to be any, say, synchronistic elements involved with the dates on the pennies. I took EDS scans of the penny surfaces. They were oxidized, had a little bit of silica, probably from dirt. And eventually gave them back to the owner, but they seemed to be just dirty old pennies. Now, you know, some people have speculated, where do things that apport in ghostly cases come from? Well, they probably come from somewhere else. So maybe somebody somewhere was missing five pennies.